It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. When you're on the radio, when you're talking for a living, you got to protect your moneymaker. If you don't protect your voice, you're really screwed in this industry. And young Nathan Forlina, I think, is figuring that out as we speak. Give it a whirl over there.
Yeah, so it's at times it will probably give out, but I lost my voice over the weekend, so slowly getting it back. It's happened one other time while I was here, so I think I made it through that show okay. Hopefully Thursday I'll be a lot better, but honestly it's coming out a lot better right now, but I don't want to jinx it.
You lost your voice screaming at Mike Tomlin?
It definitely wasn't. It was probably more screaming at Penn State more than Mike Tomlin, because I haven't been in here since Thursday.
That's
so,
right, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, probably more. I think, actually, I did lose my voice that night, so that's probably why. So
I want to get your thoughts on the Penn State game later on, and a lot of different developments. But the Mike Tomlin thing, the Steelers thing, I lost my damn mind yesterday. I just lost my damn mind yesterday.
I'm assuming you're saying he needs to get fired, all this. Time to move on.
I called the Rooneys losers. I think Art Rooney II is a loser. Because if you're a boss...
When did his tenure start?
If you're a boss and you allow something great to become mediocre, that's on you. And you got to make a change. If you're not... We can blame Mike Tomlin all we want, and believe me, we will. I will continue to do so. You think there's going to be a change?
Absolutely not.
What if they lose in the playoffs again next year? You think there's going to be a change?
I do not.
What if they don't make the playoffs the next year? You think there's going to be a change?
Maybe.
What if they lose in the playoffs the following year? You think there's going to be a change?
Probably not.
I think the guy's got a friggin' lifetime contract. I think that they are so prideful in, we've had three coaches in 55 years, that they have lost sight of keeping up with modern football, and they're so concerned about their image and name and reputation and all of that stuff. And look, if you are to be a good boss, to remain a good boss, tremendous CEOs that have made their companies billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, you know what happens to them over time?
What is that?
They move on. They get fired. If their companies start to struggle, They get fired. The past is the past. By the way, this is just a weird transition because I was just thinking about that. The Macy's store in Altoona is closing. Macy's is closing 60-some-odd stores around the country. That's going to be a big hit to Altoona. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a very different aside, but I am reading all about that and thinking of what it does to the Logan Valley Mall. And it's just very sad. I haven't been to the mall in a couple of years, and I grew up in the mall. But my point is, when business goes stale, you have to make changes. Somebody called in yesterday with that definition of insanity thing. Definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's actually not the definition of insanity. That's the popular culture version.
Yeah,
definition
I feel like whatever
of
you ask
insanity,
anybody, that's what they're going to say.
But that's what they say.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, so we can blame Mike Tomlin all we want. But I went a step further yesterday, and I called Art Rooney II a loser. If he's going to continue to allow his franchise to be embarrassed, at some point, that's on the top guy. It's not necessarily on the coach, because my feeling, I talked about this last week, that if they lose, when they lose this game, because I knew they were going to lose, when they lose the game, there needs to be a come-to-Jesus moment here. There needs to be some come-to-Jesus meetings with Mike Tomlin. This is not Mike's our coach, he's going to come back. No, this is a get in a room for 8 hours and you hash out your problems and you hash out your expectations and you put the guy on the spot and you rip him a new one. Okay? You can't have a situation where that guy's got all the leverage in the world just because he knows he's not going to get fired. Okay? The bosses have got to set down groundwork for Mike Tomlin. Because the failures, my God, man, it's just the same thing over and over. It is the definition of insanity when you fail the same way year after year after year after year after year after year after year. So at some point, we can blame Mike Tomlin all we want. Me, personally, I'm starting – the longer this goes on, the blame is Art Rooney II. Because if it's his failed leadership to not make a change, then he's incompetent. Because if you don't see that your coach is not getting the job done, whose fault is that?
So I like your angle here on Art Rooney II because I do think that at some point he's going to be the one to make a change because – I don't think Tomlin, the position he's in, as much as he's getting all this public pressure on him, I really don't think he cares. I think he blocks it all out of blind. Like, he is like, okay, all football, I'm going to stick with my ways because I'm a stubborn guy.
Which... Do you think, I love this, it's a good talking point here. Do you think Mike Tomlin just thinks he's better than everybody and he knows more than everybody else?
I think every head coach thinks that.
Okay.
So yes,
right. I think that's, so I think, that's
anybody,
a good point.
Anybody in power in any position in life probably thinks that.
The level of arrogance of head coaches, just in general, that is true because when you don't get to become a head coach. I've been around a lot of head coaches, a lot of different sports, even at the high school level, who you know kind of think that their crap doesn't stink. You know that they got to that position because they're just smarter than everybody,
yeah.
And sometimes they are. I mean, okay, but I think with Mike Tomlin, the level of arrogance leads to an unbelievable, uncalculable level of inability to change and just stubbornness to change. And that, to me, adds to the laundry list of poor leadership qualities by Mike Tomlin. His inability to self-evaluate and improve the areas of his life and work performance that are not good enough. His inability to hire coaches, his inability to manage the clock, his inability with challenges on penalties, his inability to win in the playoffs, his inability to not have a bunch of idiot knuckleheads running around doing stupid things and acting like petulant children, George Pickens being the latest example. These are all – this is strike 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 against Mike Tomlin, and yet he comes across to me – I've only been around Mike a handful of times. I've covered a few Steelers games, but he just comes across to me as, I'm smarter than you. How dare you question me on anything?
He does come across that way, and again, I think anybody in power comes across that way, so it's just a trait that is shared universally among coaches, I do think. So Tomlin, I think a lot of times the best coaches are ones who are able to adapt and able to change their style over time. I don't think Tomlin's that guy, so
no.
Is that to say that it won't work? I do think the league's starting to maybe shift a little more towards how he came in. Like, when it came in, I think it went through that phase for probably 10 years where it was a full heavy passing game. I feel like now it's starting to maybe find its ground, find its level, per se. But it will never get back to the point in which Tomlin's trying to play these games where it's, we're going to try to win 13-10 and we're going to pound the rock and we're going to play great defense. Especially, I'm sure you saw the stat. Did you see the stat? I think it's the last 6 playoff games in the first half with the score.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Oh my God.
I think it's 112-7.
Yeah, I read the numbers yesterday. Kreider sent me the numbers here. These are the numbers before the Steelers have scored in their last 5 playoff games. 21-0 against the Ravens. 21-0 against the Bills, 21-7 against the Chiefs, 28-0 against the Browns in 2020, and then going back to 2017, 21-0 against the Jags. That means that you're not ready to play.
Yes.
Not that you don't necessarily have a decent team. You've made the playoffs. But it means that you are so unprepared to play. We're going to get into that specifically here about the coaching. But that is so damning. Especially in light of, you know, what Kirk Herbstreit's saying on there. Where the hell's the fight?
That's what I was about to say.
Going through the motions.
The way they came out and the way it looked in the first half, I mean, it was pitiful. It was not Steelers football. And I think that's what – because I was always on a guy, like, I was always on the side, like, listen, maybe, you know, Tomlin's got a bad draw here with the quarterback. after Saturday, I'm not on that side anymore. I'm starting to swing because, again, whenever we first started the show or whenever I first started coming in, I said, don't fire Tallman. I'm actually kind of on the side of like, yeah, I know it's probably gonna be tough. You don't want to fire him, but I think there needs to be a mutual agreement to part ways, kind of like what Dallas did with Mike
right.
McCarthy. I think it's just it's run its course. It's been 18 years now of there's been some really, really highs. I mean, they won a Super Bowl. They went to another one, but just in the last 8 years, you don't want a playoff game, and you're hovering around 500. It's just not cutting it anymore.
This is the component that I think is wishful thinking on my part as a fan, because the Steelers are not going to fire him.
Absolutely not. It'd be very tough for anybody. Like I do not envy Art Rooney. I know you're criticizing him. I don't envy him because I don't know what I would do in that situation.
So you would hope then that out of respect for all parties, for the way things have gone, if you're Mike Tomlin and you know you've got all the leverage over Art Rooney because Art Rooney is a respectable person and they don't, he knows they don't want to. Mike Tomlin should do the right thing here.
He should.
Mike Tomlin should fall on the sword and be the bigger person. But have you ever seen Mike Tomlin do that in any capacity with who he's hiring, with the stubbornness with the play, with the clock management, with his stubbornness and changing? I'm going through my mind. I don't believe I've ever seen Mike Tomlin do the right thing. He just does his thing.
Yeah, he goes his way. He's not an emotional person.
His thing can be successful. His thing has led to 18 consecutive years of not losing, of no losing seasons. His thing can get them to the playoffs. But the right thing is to improve. The right thing is to self-evaluate. The right thing would be to surround yourself with people who challenge you, not yes men. The right thing right now would be for him to go to the Rooneys and say, this is all we could have done, and it's time. That would be the right thing. But in Mike Tomlin's mind, Mike Tomlin still thinks he can win a Super Bowl 13-10. He still thinks that's the kind of football that can be successful at the highest level. And yet, if you're going to play that way, and you have a stat like T.J. Watt in his last 193 defensive snaps played, do you know that T.J. Watt, it appears that he has not even played football. Not a single stat. If you're a defensive player, if you're a running back and you get a carry, you're in the box score. If you're a baseball player and you get a at-bat or a steal or a pinch hit or whatever, you're in the box score. If you're a defensive player, if you don't record a stat, you're not in the box score anywhere. You're in the participation report. But so for his last 193 snaps, T.J. Watt doesn't have a tackle, an assist, a tackle for loss, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, a quarterback hit, a quarterback hurry. He has zero competitive stats.
Yeah, T.J. Watt, I don't know it was because this was also a big thing. Because they showed it on the broadcast whenever they'd like show the play from behind. He, on all these read options with Lamar, he'd crash down the running back.
We're going to get to that. That's a different conversation. Okay. That's the out-coach component. We're going to get to that in the next segment because that's all the Tomlin thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into Rooney because I'm not trying to be a voice in the wilderness here. I'm not trying to be hot take artist in central Pennsylvania, say, who the hell are you? I'm just sitting here telling you that if we're all going to place all this blame on Mike Tomlin, at some point we got to blame Art Rooney II.
I think it's, again, just stubbornness from the top down is just unwilling to part ways with anybody. And again, I don't know what I would do in the position, but as somebody looking in, I think it's time just to mutually split it up. I think it's
that would be
course.
Him. But that would require him doing the right thing. And I just don't think this guy who just thinks he's smarter than everybody.
I don't think he will either.
And that his approach is better than everybody's. I don't think he's going to step forward with that.
I don't think he will, unless I don't know what his plan is for next year too, because I'm assuming both Fields and Wilson will not be back with the team, so I don't know who they're going to get. God, if they bring in Aaron Rodgers, I don't.
That's kind of what it's. That's what the odds makers are kind of saying.
I think honestly, the odds makers are maybe thinking McCarthy, OC, yeah. Rodgers. Actually, I maybe wouldn't hate that, but it somehow collapsed because. Like, I mean, 8 weeks ago, we were talking about the Steelers. Like, this is a team that could make some noise.
I told you I lost my damn mind yesterday. Something else I lost my mind over was Aaron Rodgers, because that guy is such a freaking clown show. He is such a cancer. He is such a bonkers damn moron doing his own research on things. Aaron Rodgers has gone from one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, quite frankly, to a laughing stock in our community. There was a time 5 years ago where people loved him so much they wanted him to be the permanent host of Jeopardy. And now he has alienated just about everybody in the world to where, so to me, you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you've got this circus, you've got a washed up has-been quarterback who's not any good anymore. But what you might have, Nathan, you might finally have somebody in there with a big enough mouth to where they lay an egg, and he goes on Pat McAfee and says, this isn't my fault. This is the coach's fault. This is Mike Tomlin. I don't know what the hell we're doing. This is archaic football. You don't know what my Aaron Rodgers would say. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers might go on TV and completely undress the emperor. This emperor has no clothes. This is incompetence at the highest level here. This is a head. That's about the only reason I would want to see Aaron Rodgers, is because he's such a wild card that he might come in and completely humiliate Mike Tomlin. I'm not saying that he would, but Aaron Rodgers is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs enough to make you think he might say some crazy stuff.
I have so much respect for Aaron Rodgers just as the player itself. Obviously, everybody's going to have different thoughts on, you know, his views of everything. You could side with it, you can. As a football player, I think Aaron Rodgers is the second greatest quarterback I've ever seen.
Physically gifted, skill-wise.
Yes.
Behind who?
Mahomes would be the one.
Okay.
So that's why I'd say it.
Okay. But when you're not that anymore,
yeah,
and he's not.
He's not.
3-4, and you still carry yourself that way?
But I'm also kind of in the middle, like, this might just be the Jets. Because in 2022 with the Packers, and he's also coming off an Achilles tear, which that might be the time where
yep.
he shut it down.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But I think even 2022 with the Packers, he's still actually, the way I think about it, they lost that last game to get bounced from the playoffs.
But that'll
have
been 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
By the time the 2025 season starts.
I do think he's a shell of himself. I think he would play better than Wilson and Fields, though. I would say that.
Think Aaron Rodgers in this capacity at 41 years old would play better than Russell Wilson played this year? In that garbage Mesozoic era offense.
That's things
that wants to run 12 consecutive first downs. You think Aaron Rodgers is succeeding in that crap?
I would say over Wilson, yes.
I thought Russell Wilson played pretty damn well this year. Look up the stats for Russell Wilson. He protected the ball. He completed a pretty good percentage. He did what he needed to do at times. Where it fell apart was that they didn't have a number one or a number two wide receiver when Pickens got hurt.
51.4 QBR, 22nd in the league.
What was the completion percentage?
Completion percentage, let me look. Got to pull up the entire year. We were looking at 63%.
And what was Aaron Rodgers' QBR? You find that. We'll go to Jerry in Bellwood. Right. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, what were you saying about T.J. Watt? Do you think he should be benched, or what?
We're going to get into the
scheming here in a second after the first break, because it's not to say that it's complicated, but the Ravens so badly outcoached the Steelers that it completely relegated T.J. Watt to being able to do nothing. If you watch the game and you see what the plays the Ravens were doing, but again, you're talking 193 snaps without a stat. It's, you know, hey, that's a guy you can't have disappear. You got to use him in different ways. You got to put him in different spots on the field. You've got to try to do anything in the world. If you think you've got the best defensive player on the field, you got to find a way to get him involved somehow.
Okay. I think I know the answer to this, and I know it's not going to happen, but they could they trade Tomlin?
Yes, they could. They would. I think they'd get a first round pick for him. Although
there is probably 4 to 5 teams right now that would trade for him in a heart.
Yeah.
They trade a first and like a third round pick probably.
I think they could trade for him. But I think it also, what'd you say? What do you think they'd get?
I'd say a first and a third. Like the Bears, I think would give that up in a heartbeat.
Because
the Bears probably have a good enough roster now where Tomlin could elevate them to 9-8, 10-7, maybe.
Only thing is that that anybody that might trade for Mike Tomlin would probably know the Steelers don't have a lot of leverage there, that they probably want him out. So why would you give up a first for anything?
Yeah, and then Tomlin also has a no-trade clause, so that's got to be – he's got to be willing to go somewhere
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
So
what
I don't
saying.
Know if he'll actually do it.
If you're another team, if you're the Bears or somebody, and you know Mike Tomlin wants out enough to waive a no trade clause, why would you give him a first rounder?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think that Mike Tomlin, if he was smart, I just kind of think that both the Steelers and him need a fresh start. I mean,
yep.
I think he could be a good, successful coach other places. Sometimes you need to start over. And I think that would be great for him. And I think it would be good for the Steelers. But
Jerry,
I know
you're talking about a guy that has spent 15 years absolutely refusing to work on his own shortcomings. Why do you think he would do the right thing now and say,
well,
because I just think he is so unbelievably arrogant and stubborn that he would consider it a failure and he would never ever do it.
Well, no, I'm sure you're right, but I just think that would be a smart thing for him well as the Steelers. I think it would be. I mean, I can't imagine being in that situation, that he's in. But I would just think that I'd want a fresh start and. Because he's starting to get a lot of baggage, and a lot of bad opinions about him. Not just locally, but you hear it nationally now too. So
yep.
I think it's really time for him to move on. But I know he won't. But anyway,
we're gonna do the scheming part and the game planning and the play calling, because what we saw Saturday. I'm gonna repeat this. I thought it was pretty. It won't be as good as it was yesterday, but. Basically, the comparison I made, Nathan, was this was a grown-ass man in John Harbaugh and a little baby boy in Mike Tomlin. And John Harbaugh came over and witch-slapped the baby boy and just took the candy right from him and said, go the hell home. That's how bad the Ravens outcoached the Steelers on Saturday.
That first half was atrocious.
That's how bad they outcoached
them.
It was grown man versus six-month-old baby. With no prayer. It's as bad of an out-coaching situation as I've seen. We'll talk about it in a second.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in 3 counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Here's what's happening in Hank.
The annual Shake Our Cans and Goods for Canned Goods to benefit the St. Vincent de Paul Society Soup Kitchen is coming up Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., Fit and Fun House, 3000 7th Avenue, 2nd floor rear in Altoona. All are welcome. Suggested admission is a minimum of 10 cans of food or $10. For information, email fitandfunhouse@gmail.com or call 814-207-2679. We play the legends of country.
So this is what I'm talking about when we talk about getting out coached. All right. So for 10 years, Nathan, we've talked about James Franklin gets out coached in big games. Can you summarize in your opinion what happens in a given game against an Ohio State or a Michigan or somebody that would lead you to say James Franklin got out coached?
I would say just not making the right decisions, whether it's a timeout in a certain spot, whether it's when to go for it and when to either kick it or kick a field goal, those types of things. Now, obviously, everybody can sit at their home and say, make this decision because you're not on the sideline of Beaver Stadium with 107,000 people rooting for you to win. But usually when you're getting out coached, or even just scheme things that you see on film that you just don't adapt to and you just stay stubborn, or you don't even make second half adjustments and you just continue to try to drive home what your message was pregame.
But that's never been the problem for James, the adjustment part. He's always made adjustments. They've struggled in the first half, and typically James makes as good of adjustments in the second half as anybody, which was kind of ironic that Notre Dame did it to him, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But I think you're spot on. When we talk about James Franklin getting out coached, it's usually like two or three plays, and that's it at most. Sometimes it's one. Is James ready for that fourth down call?
Yeah.
With the game online against Ohio State. Is James ready to try the fake punt like he did against Minnesota? Mm-hmm. But it comes down, when we talk about James Franklin getting out coached, generally speaking, I think we're talking about a max of three plays in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin got out coached by 50. Plays easily. Basically every offensive play that the Ravens ran in the first half.
Yeah, I'd about to say the entire first half he got out coached.
And so, why do I say that? If you watch the broadcast closely, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit were talking about this. They kept saying repeatedly, every time Lamar carried the ball in the first quarter, the Ravens don't really want to run Lamar this much. Ravens really don't like to run Lamar this much. The Ravens generally don't run Lamar this much. The Ravens, Lamar's not. How many times did you hear that in the first quarter? I'd say at least four.
Yeah, four to five, probably.
And yet he ran about 10 times, either in the first quarter or early second quarter. Because after playing the Steelers so many times and losing 8 of the last 10 games against the Steelers, what the Ravens did was they decided to keep the ball in Lamar's hands and let T.J. Watt and let the defensive lineman crash down on Derrick Henry while Lamar takes off for 8, 12, 14 yards. And the Steelers had no answer. No answer whatsoever. It's almost like, again, taking candy from a baby. The Steelers went into this game with a game plan to do the exact same things they've always done against Lamar. And the broadcasters even said it. They're going to crash down on the running back. So what happened? Lamar keeps the ball, takes off, completely confuses the Steelers for pretty much the whole first half. And now, if you're the Steelers, you're in no man's land because you got Derrick Henry back there who is still unbelievably awesome. Derrick Henry, when all is said and done, You can maybe make the case that Derrick Henry is the greatest running back who ever lived at all levels of football. Derrick Henry still holds the national high school record.
Have you seen his high school highlights?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
They're out of control.
Imagine getting off eighth period and having to go tackle that dude who's a grown man running at
So he is still the career leader in high school rushing yards. Then he goes to Bama and wins a Heisman. Now he's 11,000 yards or so. I think Emmitt Smith maybe still has the record.
Emmitt Smith,
18,000? Check that.
Yeah.
So Derrick Henry may or may not get to that record, but Derrick Henry, from the time he put pads on, whenever, to now, I can make a case.
18,355.
And what's Derrick Henry, about 11 and a half somewhere?
Yeah, he's probably right in that area.
I can make a case that he is the greatest running back in the time that he's played at all levels. Again, Eric Dickerson was phenomenal. You know, the murderer O.J. Simpson was phenomenal. You can go back in time. There have been a lot of great running backs. What's his total?
I'm trying to pull it up. ESPN's always weird with these current players. Looking at 11,423.
Right. So give him four more years. He'll probably get to 16,000.
I'm thinking he'll probably end 15 to 16.
Yeah. So he probably doesn't get to
end. He's short.
But if you're the career high school rushing leader, you won a Heisman, which Emmitt didn't do, and then you go for 16 grand in the NFL, I can make the. So the point I'm trying to make is this: the Steelers went into that game with a game plan of stopping Derrick Henry. And John Harbaugh and the Ravens humiliated them by having a game plan that was perfectly suited against what the Steelers and they had no friggin' clue. They rushed for 300 yards. It was 299 yards. And you're down 21-0 at the half. The game is over. Okay. And so that to me, we talk about James Franklin getting out-coached by two or three plays. The entire game plan, the Ravens outcoached Mike Tomlin. It was so egregious.
Well, the entire first half, it was just read options that they were taking for 15, 20-yard chunk plays, and it was like, what is going on right here? First of all, the greatest running back to ever live will always be Barry Sanders in my eyes. I think Barry Sanders is the GOAT running back.
I've always thought that as well.
Even though Emmett has the record.
Yep. I'd Barry retired very, very early.
He probably retired when he was Derrick Henry's age.
I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad Ashton Jeanty playing the friggin' Mountain West Conference didn't break. Thank goodness Penn State shut him down enough because he finished about 35 yards short.
32 yards short.
So thank goodness Ashton Jeanty didn't supplant Barry Sanders as the greatest college running
back.
Of
Sanders did
time.
It, and I think in 11 games, and Jeanty was 14 games.
Oh my God! I grew up. I was watching those highlights with 88 with Barry. I was watching all that stuff. I mean, Barry returning kickoffs and punts for touchdowns. Yeah. It was out of this world.
Yeah. It was atrocious that was even going to be allowed. But anyways, the entire first half, and this was what we were talking about with TJ Watt. You constantly saw it where he just crashed down
Boom.
Henry.
Yep,
and Lamar's just walking pretty much.
Toying with them. And you could see TJ getting frustrated. You could see that they spent all week on this game plan. You can see that they probably felt pretty confident because, look, I've coached a lot. I've coached grown men playing, you know, some sports, basketball and softball. I've coached little kids. If you come up with a game plan that you think is going to work, you know, whether you win or lose, a lot of times your game plan will work because it's kind of easy to game plan if you know anything about the other team. If you come up with a game plan that just doesn't work at all, that's when the frustration sets in.
Yeah.
When you go into a game thinking, I've got a good handle on this, the players have a good handle on this, we have a good handle on what it is we're going to do, and it just you get humiliated by it. That's where I don't know that the Steelers quit in the first half, not initially, but I think late in that first quarter, you saw that's when you started to see the effort, and that's when Kirk Herbstreit and they start talking about where the hell's the fight. I think that they were so taken aback, thinking that they knew how to play against the Ravens, and then finding out they're playing a completely different team. And it not working, everything just compounded on itself.
Yes, and I think what sucks for them is they know that front seven is kind of the cream of the crop of their defense. Mm-hmm. Like, their secondary struggled all year. That front seven has been something that, even in the run game, I thought they did fairly well throughout the year. And I get it, you're playing the best you're playing Lamar Jackson, who's the greatest rushing quarterback of all time, and Eric Henry, who's probably the greatest running back of the 21st century. So it's not an easy task per se, but it's just like you got to make either an adjustment or you got to make a play that just stops someone. And you didn't have a single quarterback spy.
You've got to keep your offense on the field. You've got to do some things that's offensively what happens too. Sustain
you
drives.
You get worn out when they're
correct.
Going 15, 16 plays
or whatever.
And again,
when I talk about James Franklin getting outcoached and we're talking about two or three plays, Mike Tomlin got outcoached by 50 or 60 plays because it wasn't just the defense. The offense came onto the field and wasn't ready to do anything. The very first play of the game, do you remember what happened? Wide open to Pat Freiermuth in the left flat.
Oh, yeah, dropped.
Just dropped it.
Yeah.
Just flat dropped it. Okay. You get that, you get a first down, you get rolling. Maybe you go some no huddle or whatever, some tempo. Maybe you get a drive, maybe you get to the Ravens 45. Whether you score or not, you know, you've moved the ball, you got a little bit of confidence. The very first play of the game, you're shorthanded wide receiver. I've seen Pat drop four balls ever. I mean, the guy is as shorthanded as he gets, drops the ball right to him. And so from that point on, all right. Chuck in Unionville, what you got, buddy?
Hey, man, you know, in talking about all this and Rooney coming out and saying Tomlin's not going anywhere, you know, Rooney was really emphatic last year that this can't continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what he is going to do to change this if he holds on to Tomlin. You got a clean house of everybody underneath Tomlin and get rid of the yes men and his coordinators. Whether or not that will happen, I don't know. But your point to the level of which this was an embarrassment is it's just astounding to me. I can't for the life of me think that Rooney's going to let any of this just, you know, we're going to change one or two things or this or that or the other. I'm stumped as to how they're going to move forward.
That's why I keep saying, Chuck, there has got to be a very extended come-to-Jesus meeting of Art Rooney II saying, you cannot coach football games this way, period. We love all these things about you, leadership, and the way you represent us and the way you respect, but the way you coach football games is wrong. The way you game plan and call plays and running 12 consecutive first downs and getting out coached in the play, the way you're doing this, Mike, is wrong. It's just simply wrong. Do they have the balls? Do they have the cojones to stare Mike Tomlin in the eyes from 5 feet across the table and say, you are wrong? I don't care how successful you've been. You are wrong, Mike. This has got to change. See, I don't think they have any of that. I think that they're going to sit there, and I think Art Rooney II is going to be a yes man, and he's going to let Mike Tomlin impress him with his oratory skills once again, and Mike's going to go on speeches, and he's a big, tough guy, and he probably intimidates Art Rooney II. There are a lot of factors in play here that I don't believe that Art Rooney II is going to have the balls to sit across the table and tell Mike Tomlin, you, sir, are not good at this.
I agree with you. There should be a third component in here in this. And in theory, the GM should be the one on any other organization.
Oh, that guy's used. Omar Khan. I mean, that guy's a puppet. Oh, he's a puppeteer at this point.
Hey, you know what, Corey? As a Steeler fan, you're holding out any hope whatsoever anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to your point, I think this is it. You know, Tomlin as the motivating football coach is fantastic. Tomlin as the CEO football coach who evaluates, drafts talent, and chooses coordinators is an absolute abomination. And you're right. Do they have the ability to go in there and say, you know, because whenever he came into the league, you know, when he walked into the league, he had Bruce Arians as an offensive coordinator, and he had Dick LeBeau as a defensive coordinator.
Brilliant.
He wasn't telling these guys squat.
No way.
Nope.
But
no way.
But
right.
Who won? Who won out Absolutely. Between Mike Tomlin and Bruce Arians? Mike Tomlin. Well, remember when Bruce Arians retired? Remember when he retired?
And then a day later,
he's like, I didn't retire. I want to coach.
Well, I understand, but what I'm saying in this is this is where the, and I've said this over and over again, if Mike Tomlin, well, let's just say that Mike Tomlin was said, I've had it, I'm done, I want out. And Tomlin had the ability to pull a Brady to go to a stacked team that already had a GM and a coordinator and everybody in place. And the GM would look at him and say, you are running what we've got. Would he win a Super Bowl? Absolutely he would.
I think he could.
You know, I think he very well could because he's excellent on that. It is all the other architecture that he is an abomination mm-hmm. at, and there's no way that he is ever going to let go of that level of control. You're absolutely right. So I can't, for the life of me, I can't imagine any scenario that happens in Pittsburgh that is going to make a difference. And when you have people like James Harrison tweeting out in the third quarter of that game, like, where the hell are the adjustments? Who's coaching? When you have players on that level calling it out that way, that's as bad as it is. But the unfortunate part is, you know, everybody, it's so impossible to step outside of yourself and see your own weaknesses and to see, you know, what your patterns in life bring you. And that's where we are as Steelers fans. And it looks like that's going to be part of Art Rooney the second as much as it is Mike Tomlin.
Okay, that's great stuff, Chuck. Appreciate it. Hope we'll hear from you next hour, man.
You will. Thanks, bro.
I don't think I've mentioned this yet. Here in 18 minutes, we'll have our final Black and Gold breakdown episode of the season. I told my wife last Wednesday or Thursday. My wife's a big Steelers fan. Mm-hmm. Grew up watching the Steelers with her dad. So I told my wife, yeah, next week will be the last. Black and Gold breakdown. She said, shut your filthy mouth.
Come Saturday night, what happens?
She was pissed, man. Because my wife is not the X's and O's person. She's not listening to me break down what Mike Tomlin does wrong. She's not reading analytics of why Mike Tomlin is a failed coach late in the season.
Yeah.
So this is all a surprise to her. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, I'm a little different because I root for the Steelers, but I'm not like a diehard fan because I'm much more of a college, like I'm much more of a Penn State diehard fan than I am Steelers because I'm more of an NFL guy. Like I like watching the talent themselves. Mm-hmm. Like I like watching players and, you know, coaches. I obviously want the Steelers to do well, but I mean, whenever you saw it coming, like to me, the loss didn't even sting a tenth of what Penn State did in Notre Dame.
What a great professional segue. Radio
I was thinking about the segue. There we go.
That's what we'll get into.
Ross Chastain and Shane Van Gisbergen will combine to compete in 9 NASCAR Xfinity Series races for Junior Motorsports in 2025. Trackhouse Racing's Chastain, a 2-time winner in the Xfinity Series, will pilot the number 9 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports at Circuit of the Americas in March, as well as Darlington, Nashville, Dover, and Iowa. SVG, you know, the road course ace, he has 3 victories in the Xfinity Series and is scheduled to race at Mexico City, Chicago, and Sonoma, as well as Watkins Glen. Elio Castroneves is going to race in next month's Daytona 500 for Trackhouse Racing and is locked into the Great American Race already using NASCAR's new open exemption provisional. This new rule was just put in place for, quote, world-class drivers who enter a NASCAR Cup Series race, end quote. And Elio would certainly qualify as that. Specifically, they list his 4 Indianapolis 500 wins and his 3 Rolex 24 championships at Daytona. Look for the IndyCar superstar to run the number 91 Chevrolet as part of the team's Project 91 initiative. To prepare for the Daytona 500, Elio will also race in the ARCA 200 on February 15th in the number 82 car and has already wheeled a stock car as of last Thursday at Daytona in the ARCA Series test, posting the 27th fastest speed at 179.465 miles per hour across the 2-day session. You're on the final lap.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Because more than riding his carbon fiber mountain bike, Tom loves telling people about his carbon fiber mountain bike. Friends, family, even a local barista knows about his carbon fiber mountain bike. And that's why Tom's carbon fiber mountain bike, if you haven't heard about it, is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? It seems impossible to find them. Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
If you are struggling with anger, depression, or discouragement, you're living in darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. God's Word shines a light out of your dark place. The Sinking Valley Presbyterian Church encourages you to turn to the Bible, learn about God's love for you and His good plans. Jesus tells us to knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find. Look for new life in God's Word. God loves you and is waiting for you at the door.
All right, so Nathan hasn't been in since the Penn State loss to Notre Dame.
It stung. It stung, Corey. It stung.
How frustrating. Let's start from the end, because Penn State gets down 17-10. They come right back. They show a lot of guts going back up 24-17.
I mean, I thought it was going to crumble down. It looked like everything was just going down the toilet.
Well,
there.
You have the fluke play with Cam Miller. Cam Miller, by the way, is transferring. Omari Evans is transferring, the wide receiver. He's okay. Entered the transfer portal. Cam Miller's entering. He fell down. They get a 50-yard touchdown to tie the game. But Penn State gets the ball back with less than a minute to go, or about a minute to go. What percentage of you is thinking they're going to win that game?
I was thinking at first this is going to be – let me say first off, I agree with trying to score right there.
So Nick runs for 13 yards
after that first play, I was getting a little bit of confidence.
At that point, I'm 70% sure Penn State's going to win the game right there.
Yes. And then I thought if it got to overtime –
But you know why? Because they're great in two-minute situations.
Yes.
Penn State has always been great in those situations. You go back to Trace McSorley with what he did against Minnesota in 2016 to win that game before Ohio State. You go back to a lot of different times with Sean Clifford, who I was just bashing off the air. You know, they have been terrific in late half and late game situations. So I'm perfectly fine with them trying to be aggressive.
And I agree with the aggressiveness, but just the decision. And I was listening to you break it down after the game live, and you said that is going to be Drew Aller's legacy, is that play right there. And unless you win a national championship, that's going to be his legacy, which, mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think he's overrated, but I think he is a good quarterback. I think he can be a good quarterback. I just think mentally and with the IQ, it's just not there yet. But in that situation, you've now played 30-some games at Penn State. Like, you started two straight years, and you played spot plays in your true freshman year. That play can never happen. That was an abomination play, and I get you're trying to make something out of nothing, but in that situation, it's a tie game. It's not like it's desperation right there. You don't make that throw.
It's first down.
Yeah.
It's when you take a look back at a lot, and I just mentioned Trace McSorley. Do you remember Pitt in 2016?
Yes.
Penn State had come back, and the Pitt loss.
Through the interception ended, right?
Yes. The Pitt loss is what kept Penn State out of the playoff in 2016, not the Michigan 49-10, the Pitt loss. And Trace McSorley, who had brought him all the way back against Pitt, throws an interception on first down. Mm-hmm. When you throw a game-ending interception, now look, if Deshaun Hamilton catches that one ball, they probably win the game. But when you throw an interception that ends the game on first down, that's just crushing, because you've got to know on first down, there's still a lot.
It's not desperation.
Yeah, there's a lot of
it's
time
not desperation.
Left. Yeah, and so Drew. It's so fascinating, because the panic, you saw the panic. You can see it, especially when they showed
the angle.
It was all night.
He was not getting his feet set.
But that play specifically, you see that when they do show the replay from behind, he looks to his left. You can see him go across the field to his progression. And then it's like his third progression should have been to the right. Take a look at it for a quarter second. throw, but you can see it pretty clear. As he goes left to right, it's like as soon as he turns to the right, he just fires, like without really looking. And he says he tried to, quote, dart the ball at Omari Evans' feet.
Why would you throw it out of bounds then?
Just don't throw it, or yeah, just throw it 20 feet over his head, yeah, or something like that. You just, 47 seconds to go, you just didn't have to do it. And so I've spent a lot of time since then, Nathan, thinking about Drew Aller's career, because a lot was made of the 25 touchdowns to one interception last year, mm-hmm, in the regular season.
That's all everybody can talk about.
Right. I didn't think it meant anything. I thought it meant nothing, like literally nothing to me. Because he didn't try difficult passes ever, Okay, he didn't throw to the middle of the field. Balls that are going to get intercepted are the balls that are going to the middle of the field. Okay, yeah. You either overthrow a guy.
Whenever it's outside the numbers, you're relying on the athletic ability of a defensive player.
Yeah, and those balls just are not intercepted because.
And there's a reason why those corners aren't playing receivers.
Correct.
It's because,
right. And
exactly.
Balls might get tipped, and if they get tipped, they go out of bounds. You throw a ball that's tipped over the middle, it gets intercepted. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Penn State trusted him. They obviously didn't have the wide receivers last year, and Drew wasn't real good at that. Then came the Franklin moment where I said, you know, you guys need to throw deep some more. And they refused to do that because Drew just doesn't throw a good deep ball. He just doesn't. His completion percentage on deep balls, whether it's his fault or the receiver's fault, it's just not good. So 25-1 meant nothing to me. This year, when you put Drew into situations where he's got to make a play and he's got to drive you down the field. Now, the USC game was very impressive. And I do have to mention this. I don't like picking on college guys, but my God, how big of a bust was Julian Fleming? All we heard about for 3 or 4 years was Julian
Fleming's
Fleming.
23, 24.
Fleming caught two passes against USC that were huge on fourth downs. He caught both fourth down passes. And basically, we didn't hear from Julian Fleming the whole rest of the year. I think he finished with 13 catches, for crying out loud. Okay, and this was the number two or three prospect in the entire country when he was coming out as a wide receiver. Okay, so anyway, when you ask Drew to actually make plays driving down the field, we haven't seen a lot. He hasn't had to do it a lot. And so when I say he panicked in that situation.
He panicked against Oregon, too, in the Big Ten Championship.
Yes.
He's done it multiple times.
He's not that guy. He's a game manager who can turn around and hand off, who can toss little 8-yard passes to your unbelievable tight end, and who can throw outs.
You couldn't even throw a simple flat route to get Nick Singleton a better ball to get in the end zone.
That's
in the
right.
First quarter.
And so
it was start to finish against Notre Dame, horrendous. It really was.
So you've had a few days to think about it now. How much does it sting now compared to yesterday? Everybody's in la-la land because Singleton and Allen are coming back. Well, I still think Aller's the quarterback, and you're not going to have any receivers. Again, Omari Evans, the number two receiver, is transferring. Harrison Wallace, the third, will be back. You're bringing in these two guys, but all I keep thinking about when I think about bringing in transfer wide receivers is Dante Cephas and Malik McClain. They were horrific. So I don't, until you get there and until you prove you can do something in the Big Ten, I'm going to doubt it. So I know.
And you don't have Tyler Warren to bail you out every single situation.
So,
I mean, I like their tight ends, but they're not Tyler Warren.
You've had a few days, you know, to either get over the sting or start to look forward to next year with Singleton. Where are you at this stage in mid-January?
So I do like the fact that, and I'm not comparing the two, but Ohio State kind of had this buy-in last year where their guys came back and said, we're going to try to compete for a national championship, and you see where they're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
You had first-round talent come back saying, we're giving it one last ride, we're doing it for a coach. I think that's kind of what's going on. Besides, you in Ohio State had it with Maserati Marv leaving, all that kind of stuff. You know, Penn State has it with Abdul Carter. It seems very similar. I don't think Penn State's going to win the national championship next year, but I like the buy-in from everybody. But I think the problem with me and what stings the most is it was there for you. The national championship was almost handed to you. You had Riley Leonard look like crap as well. Truthful, he didn't look good either.
Yep.
If it wasn't for a slipped DB, that's right. 54 yards and a touchdown off the stat.
Do you think Notre Dame scoring a touchdown there if Cam Miller
didn't fall? I don't think so. It hurts because they should be in the national championship. They should be in the national championship.
I agree. This is what I kept asking everybody the next day. Who's the better team, Penn State or Notre
Penn State, in my opinion, wins that game 6 out of 10 times, I would say.
Yep.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138, visit Prevnar20.com, or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
All righty, I'm gonna let you do the J.M. Boswell. You got a good one for J.M. Boswell?
Yeah, if you're just a depressed Penn State fan who thought, hey, listen, you know, should have beaten Notre Dame. Well, for the next week until we see the two teams play in the national championship, you know, my two most hated teams, nothing will take that off my mind rather than J.M. Boswell's Piper Cigar. Just being truthful.
There you go. That's great. That's good stuff. So it'll help you get over your disappointment. Mike Tomlin's coming back. He said he's not going to get traded.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Notre Dame.
So basically every fan in this area
right.
is having themselves a fan. I said to my girl.
Oh, there are a lot of Notre Dame fans here, though.
There are. I said the only thing I make this, I don't care if my teams go 1-1. Just I don't want them both to lose.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Once Penn State lost, I'm like, all right, well, this can be a disappointing weekend because I said on here, too, I said the Ravens are going to roll them. I'm like, it was a terrible weekend. But a J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigar is the perfect solution to solve that problem.
So. You're back Thursday. We'll do some preview stuff of the college football playoff championship.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I'm debating whether it's actually going to be a good game or not because – I don't think Notre Dame, even though they beat Penn State,
Ohio State beats the hell out of them.
I've been saying that too.
I've been saying
by at least 14, but I think it could be much more.
Yeah, I'm going to go 13 or so. We'll break it down. Thursday. Have a good one, everybody. Black and Gold breakdown
Sports
coming up.
Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.